NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by your Ford dealer, the place you gotta go to see what's going on. Here's Lou Wood.
Lawyer J.B. Stoner of Savannah, Georgia, visited with James Earl Ray in the Tennessee State Prison today and later said Ray told him he is innocent of the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Stoner said Ray claimed he was pressured into a guilty plea to the King slaying earlier this month in a deal worked out by his former attorney, Percy Foreman, and the prosecution so Ray could escape a death penalty. Ray has since fired Foreman as his lawyer and hired Stoner. Stoner has been connected with the segregationist National States Rights Party and various Ku Klux Klan activities and was questioned by newsmen about his attitude toward Martin Luther King, to which he replied,
"The National States Rights Party didn't like Martin Luther King, and I didn't like Martin Luther King, and I had a set of appeals about King.
Quite a few of Mr. King's constituents have offered to stick up for Mr. Ray in court. Does this have any effect on your feelings, sir?"
No comment about that.
Is it because of your attitude toward King that he called you?
No comment. I've been leading demonstrations against Martin Luther King for a number of years at different places.
Just sort of figured out on Mr. Ray.
I don't like King and didn't like King. And
Mr. Ray knows how you feel, right?
No comment.
J.B. Stoner, new attorney for James Earl Ray. More news after this from Ford.
There are only 26 more days till Maverick arrives. Maverick, the new small car from Ford. Import buyers will want to wait till April 17th, but you others, here's news. Right now, your Ford dealer is having a countdown sale, knocking down prices as he counts down the days till Maverick arrives. You get sensational buys on a Galaxy 500. With special list price reductions on popular options, you can pocket up to $144. The countdown sale includes Fairlane with price reductions that add up to $101 on this great-selling intermediate. You always save on a Falcon, but the countdown sale reduces Falcon's list another $52. And the Mustang Sports Roof is priced lower than a comparable 68 model. Right now, it's also equipped with options at special prices. Mustang, a neat package at a price reduction of up to $173. That's right, $173. Your Ford dealer's countdown sale is on now, so now's the time you gotta go see him and save.
Once again, Lou Wood.
Sharp fighting on three sides of Saigon today heightened the alert that Allied commanders have declared for this weekend in Vietnam. Allied forces report killing 127 enemy soldiers in four battles north, south, and east of the capital. One American was killed, and South Vietnamese units reported six dead. U.S. officers said Saigon might be hit by another rocket attack over the weekend, but doubted enemy ground forces would be able to reach Saigon itself. U.S. Ambassador Ellsworth Bunker left Saigon today on a trip home for consultations with President Nixon. Bunker will meet with Mr. Nixon in California, where the president is spending the weekend. Mr. Nixon paid an unannounced visit to the big U.S. Marine base at Camp Pendleton and startled military policemen on the gates when his big limousine and motorcade entered. They informed top Marine headquarters on the base, but the boss never caught up with the president. Mr. Nixon stopped and chatted with some Marine engineers repairing a flooded-out road. Earlier, Mr. and Mrs. Nixon visited the nearby San Juan Capistrano mission where the Swallows returned earlier this week. It was a sentimental visit to one of their favorite California spots. Statements by President Nixon and Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare Robert Finch on campus disorders are due out later today. A mob of Anguillan demonstrators scuffled with British troops today outside the office of the British-appointed commissioner. A task force of British paratroopers moved into the tiny Caribbean island last Wednesday to reestablish colonial rule in the rebellious island, but will be replaced by engineers to provide aid for the impoverished island. More in a moment.
Ford's new small car Maverick arrives April 17th, okay? And to keep Ford dealers' record-breaking sales counting up, your Ford dealer is having a countdown sale. He's knocking down prices as he counts down the days till Maverick with sensational buys on Mustang sports roofs priced lower than a comparable 68 model. Right now, it's also equipped with options at special prices and is wrapped up in a neat package and at a price reduction of up to $173. That's right, $173. So see your Ford dealer during his countdown sale.
Anti-American demonstrations in Pakistan erupted today. About 350 students shouting "Down with America" hauled down the American flag outside the U.S. consulate building in Karachi and tore it in two. Sources in Moscow report that 67 communist parties have agreed to hold a World Communist Conference in the Soviet capital in early June. The meeting, originally scheduled for May, was postponed because of the Czechoslovakian invasion. Again, the hour's top story, segregationist lawyer J.B. Stoner visited with James Earl Ray in the Tennessee State Prison today and said Ray told him he is innocent of the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King. Lou Wood, NBC News, reporting.
Listen again on the hour when Ford brings you NBC Monitor News. On Monitor Now, music by Frank Purcell and the orchestra, The Lonely Season. From Monitor 69 on a weekend devoted in part to an investigation of changing social and moral patterns in the world today. We've already heard about some co-educational cross-country running done by college kids who were barefoot, clear up to the chin. A bit later in this half hour, we'll look into the increasing use of obscenity in the public prints media. First, music by the Fifth Dimension.
Thank you. inspired no doubt by one of the signs of the zodiac, which comes from the same Greek word as zoo. Oh, really? I'm an Aries myself. Aries, positive qualities, enterprising, incisive, spontaneous. Negative qualities, impetuous, impatient. That's true, too. I'm impatient, especially with anybody who says I'm enterprising, incisive, and spontaneous. People on the go always seem to know. Take along Miller High Life Beer in champagne golden cans and find out for yourself why Miller makes it right. Miller makes it right. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee. Next, on the line with Bob Considine. Brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
As an inveterate user of the airlines, I've been feeling a bit out of things lately. I haven't been on a hijacked plane. Not one. All of my friends have, it seems to me. And I met a stewardess recently who has been hijacked twice. Unbearably snobbish about it, of course. But now I can initiate small talk at dinner. I was hijacked north from Atlanta to Greenville, South Carolina. And I'll be back to tell you about that unique adventure. But first meet Casey Stengel, one of the most successful and shrewdest managers in the whole history of baseball.
Now remember, Bob Considine, I had a great bunch of ball players.
You sure did, Case, but as I recall, and I covered a lot of your games, you made a lot of smart moves with that old noodle of yours, too.
Well, Bob, I'll agree with you about one smart move I made years and years ago. That's when I took out health insurance from Mutual of Omaha. Man, do they pay off. I've been in the hospital a couple of times lately, and I'm sold on the way they protect youngsters like me. Bob, they even pay off on top of Medicare.
You'd recommend it?
All the way. I've looked around and you just can't beat it.
Casey, it's hard to beat a plan that can pay hundreds of dollars in addition to Medicare. So to get all the facts, just send a postcard to Mutual of Omaha, Omaha, Nebraska.
Be sure you don't send it to me.
Well, there we were, all 80 of us, on Eastern Airlines Flight 102, bound from Atlanta to New York. None of us could imagine in our wildest dreams that we were to become the first victims of a hijack headed north. Well, a kind of hijack, I guess I should call it. There wasn't any march up the aisle to Captain Boast's flight deck with a swarthy soul holding a gun or a knife against the stewardess' fifth rib. Nothing like that. The first uneasiness we felt was that the plane was sitting there in Atlanta doing absolutely nothing for about an hour and a half. And then the word, direct from the skipper over the squawk box. Folks, he said, and he was plainly steamed up about something, looks like we're going to have a delay getting refueled here. There also seems to be a slowdown in the baggage handling, but things should straighten themselves out pretty shortly, so just sit back and relax. Captain Bust gave us no other comment on the maintenance services at one of the nation's biggest airports, nor did he recommend an alternative for relaxing. So everybody relaxed, except those who looked out the port side of the plane. A fuel truck nuzzled up under the wing of the jet, but another truck then pulled up near it, and that truck's driver jumped out and angrily motioned to the first driver to get out of there. Another altercation of some kind, incoherent inside our soundproofed cabin, seemed to be going on between two baggage handlers. And again, the voice of Captain Boast. "Please forgive me for being a bit perturbed," he said perturbedly. "I feel I must now take off and put down at Greenville, South Carolina. I cannot refuel here, and in my judgment, I don't have enough fuel to safely try to take you all the way to New York." "Don't be alarmed," he went on. "I've been flying airplanes for 37 years. I'm just trying to give you a good, safe flight to New York. I'm sorry about some of your connections that'll be missed, but the girls will pass among you and do what they can to straighten them out. Oh, and one more thing," he said. "Easton wants you all to have a free drink once we get to Greenville." The landing at Greenville was without incident, like the unscheduled landings at Havana. The big difference was that Captain Bost came on the pipe once more and said, "The free bar is open, folks." That fella Castro never says anything like that. Also, a man who had to get to New York in a great hurry ran up the steps as we refueled there at Greenville. He had faced the prospect of waiting for hours and hours at Greenville to catch a plane to New York. It's an ill wildcat strike that blows no good. This is Bob Considine for Monitor. Did you know that Casey Stengel, that great baseball manager, has been hospitalized twice lately? Here he is. Case, how do you feel?
It's never any fun to be laid up, Bob. But I sure feel a lot better with my health insurance from Mutual of Omaha. It paid off all the way. I want to recommend it to every other youngster over 65.
Casey's referring to Mutual of Omaha's extra security plan. It can pay hundreds of dollars in cash in addition to Medicare. For more information, write to Mutual of Omaha, Omaha, Nebraska.
On the Line with Bob Considine will be heard again tomorrow. Presented by Mutual of Omaha and its life insurance affiliate, United of Omaha. Here on the Monitor Beacon.
The Federal Bar Association reminds us that freedom depends on the rule of law. The law protects you. Respect it. Uphold it. Obey it. And here to help promote respect for the law and for those who enforce it is Gene Rayburn.
Every game must have rules, whether it's baseball, football, bridge, or a television game show, because without rules, there would be no game. Now, that holds true in the game of living, too. Most of us consider ourselves pretty good citizens. We obey the laws, recognize that freedom is a responsibility. Unfortunately, there'll always be a few who do not recognize this responsibility, and that means the rest of us should extend full cooperation to all law enforcement agencies and our local police force. They're the ones who ensure our safety and the safety of our families. They need our support and cooperation to make sure these laws are honored and obeyed. We urge you to assist them in every way possible.
You have just heard pre-recorded Gene Rayburn speaking in behalf of the Federal Bar Association in support of its law observance program.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York. Morgan for Monitor at 18 minutes past the hour. Now, Monitor Sports. The ski season's World Cup competition came to an end today with the North American Alpine Championships at Waterville Valley, New Hampshire. Dean Slack reports.
A 20-year-old Fräulein from Nassauern, Austria, Gertrude Gabel, today won the title as the best lady skier in the world, replacing Canada's Nancy Green, who retired after winning the World Cup the last 2 years. Karl Schranz, another Austrian, had already won the men's title. Miss Gabel, who might also claim the title as the most beautiful skier in the world, was actually disqualified in the first run of today's slalom event. But she had enough total points overall to withstand the challenge of her teammate, Wilfried Drexel. Kiki Cutter from Bend, Oregon, was the winner of the girls' slalom, with Rosie Mittermeier of Germany second. Jean-Pierre Roger of France edged Herbert Huber of Austria by 1/100th of a second to win the men's slalom. The best American finish was by Rick Champy of Rutland, Vermont, with a fifth. But the big news of the 68-69 ski season, now over, is the reemergence of Austria as the best in the world, with Karl Schranz and Gertrude Gabel winning the World's Cup. This is Dean Slack at Waterville Valley, New Hampshire, for Monitor Sports.
In the NCAA basketball tournament consolation game, Drake 104, North Carolina 84. In pro basketball, Jimmy Walker, a guard with the Detroit Pistons of the NBA, was fined $1,250. Fined $1,250 today for missing last night's game with Seattle. Underdog Temple won the National Invitation Basketball Tournament at Madison Square Garden today with an 89-76 victory over Boston College. Temple was paced by John Baum, who scored 20 of his 30 points in the second half. The defeat spoiled Bob Cousy's farewell to college coaching. In exhibition baseball, St. Louis defeated Detroit 9-1 in a rematch of World Series rivals. Cincinnati 4, Los Angeles nothing. New York Yankees 3, Washington nothing. Minnesota 5, Pittsburgh 1.
Man, this food is great.
I know, but I am paying for it with heartburn and gas.
Don't you carry Digel with you?
Digel?
Sure, when you eat too well, demand Digel.
Why?
Because Digel is the extra action antacid.
What do you mean?
Well, the Digel gives you more complete relief. Digel not only neutralizes excess acid, it has the extra action of simethicone, which breaks up bubbles of gas. Here, I've got some Digel tablets with me. They'll fix you up fast.
Thanks.
Comes in liquid, too, at all drug counters. D-I-G-E-L, Digel. Now, don't forget it.
What?
When you eat too well, demand Digel.
Boy, will I ever.
When you get a minor kitchen burn, stop the pain with Solarcaine. More effective than ordinary first aids that have no pain-killing ingredients. Solarcaine contains benzocaine, medication used by doctors. Cools, soothes, aids healing. Stop skin pain with Solarcane. Spray, lotion, or cream.
Monitor's week-long investigation of the new freedoms, what we can do and wear and say, continues now with our lively discussion of the latter area, what can be said in conversation or in public print. This matter is the subject of an article in the current Esquire magazine by a lady named Ethel Rum, and she talked about it with reporter Dean Mell.
Most people regard the use of these words as vulgar, but the users maintain that since the words are in nearly everybody's unspoken vocabulary, it's a healthy expression of their honesty. What do you think?
I'm afraid to have opinions. These aren't words that I use. My mother would have washed my mouth out with soap with any one of them. We're not talking about damn, we're not talking about hell, we're not talking about what in my day was a pretty tough word. We're talking about tough obscenities, the old dirty parts of the body. And, of course, it's a very ancient vocabulary. It's the vocabulary Chaucer wrote in, that all the queens of England used. Some of the words go back in England before the Norman invasion. You can't get much older than that and still be talking the language. It's SE in the dictionary, Standard English, 12th century.
Do you think the students who are using these words, are they using them in a healthy expression of honesty, or are they using them for shock value? What motivates them to use such words?
I think it's probably all of those things. If they want to shock people, they certainly have picked the right words. The report on what happened in Chicago says explicitly that the language itself was a factor in the violence. For policemen who are used to all the words they use them themselves, to hear white middle-class girls as well as boys use this language was unbelievable and certainly contributed to what happened. So it certainly does shock people. There isn't much question about that. We have to remember that if you are rebelling against what is orthodox, what will you do? You will be profane. You will be blasphemous. What did people do in the Middle Ages when they were protesting the Catholic religion? They profaned what was holy. And that's part of what's happening. Our young people have strong opinions about the establishment. And one of the ways that they can express them is to use what is orthodoxy for you and me. And it's working. We're really very shocked, aren't we? Taboo language has great uses. The woman who is very furious at her children, who, if she'll say the one word, whatever the word is, it could be fudge, it could be marshmallow, it could be whatever works for her, may end up not beating her children. The driver that may be listening to us on the Long Island Expressway, that long parking lot, or the L.A. Freeway, or some other roads that I can think of, bumper to bumper, his blood pressure is going up and up and up, and we know all the terrible thoughts going through his mind about the guy behind him and ahead of him and a mile ahead of him. Well, now what does he do to lessen blood pressure, to relax himself? One of the great therapeutic methods, one of the great uses for this language, is to release aggression. Say that word. Say a super obscenity. I hate to give people that kind of intimate advice, but it absolutely works. Use the word to release aggression within you.
Thank you, Mrs. Rome. This is Dean, and that's a four-letter word. Mel, another four-letter word for monitor.
You know who have no obscene words in their vocabularies? Eskimos. Guess they don't have much aggression. And what this lady seemed to be saying was, if you think it, say it. Or at least get a piece of chalk and write it on a fence somewhere. Here's a monitor tip for the home handyman. Ordinary brooms wear down rapidly when used to sweep rough cement floors in basements and garages. Their lives can be lengthened by dipping the ends of the bristles in a shallow pan of shellac, thinned slightly with alcohol. Here's another handy tip for the homeowner. For less than $4, you can own a whole tool kit in just one tool. It's a vise grip locking wrench that looks like a pair of pliers with a bolt in its right leg. Vise grip is the handyman's best friend, and it saves the day for the man that's not so handy, too. You ever try to remove the pin on a door hinge? Vise grip does the job quick and easy. It's a super pliers. Tough screwdriver jobs, nothing to it. Just lock a vise grip to the shank of the screwdriver for added leverage. It's a wrench that clamps on with a ton grip, yet opens with the flick of a finger. Get several vise grips at tool counters everywhere for the home, car, boat, workshop. Vise grip, the handiest tool you can own. Priced below $4.
Flooring Institute is pleased to announce that oak floors are in again. In fact, they've never been out. For a time, though, when the wall-to-wall urge rolled across the country, some people actually covered up their beautiful oak floors with the monotonous one-color look of wall-to-wall carpeting. But today's leading interior designers have started a trend back to exposed oak floors and area rugs, and floors have started to swing again. These designers like the look of rich-colored oriental rugs on a gleaming oak floor, or bright contemporary accent rugs on a dark finished oak. Whatever you want to do with a room, however you want to decorate it, oak fits right in. Its beautiful grain and coloring brings the warmth of nature into any setting. New urethane finishes make oak floors easier than ever to care for. And oak's beauty is permanent. You'll never have to replace your oak floors. If you're buying a new home, don't get caught in the wall-to-wall fad. Insist on the floor that's always in style. Oak. You don't take a chance with oak floors. Touch Me, a new one by Enoch Light and the orchestra. Enoch Light. Haven't heard him for quite a while. This is Monitor 69, heard countrywide on NBC stations. Northeastern Wisconsin, we're heard on WNFL in Green Bay. 1400 on the dial. H. Morgan here, back shortly.
George Collin is one of the now people. This is Roscoe, inviting you to meet him next week on NBC Radio.
When a patient enters an Easter Seal Rehabilitation Center, he has the assurance that highly skilled physical therapists will use the most modern and advanced methods to rehabilitate him, to teach him to use an artificial limb, or to train him to walk with braces on both legs. He'll work with occupational therapists, too, to strengthen his weakened hands and to increase his range of motion. Maximum physical restoration is accomplished by registered occupational therapists who employ graded activities. Physical and occupational therapy are very important to the handicapped individual if he is to be saved from a life of dependency. Easter Seal therapists work long and patiently with each person, helping to work the miracles of rehabilitation. And that's your help, too, because you care enough to give to Easter Seals each year. Because of you, thousands of crippled children are taught to lead useful, productive lives.
Fortune Phone on WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News. It's 4:30, 45 degrees in New York and partly cloudy. Harlem Congressman Adam Clayton Powell announced today that he'll run for mayor of New York if his campaign committee can come up with more money. He says the committee has already raised $500,000, and if another $500,000 is collected, he'll run. Another familiar Democrat is making up his mind about the mayoral race. Former New York Mayor Robert Wagner is being urged to seek the Democratic nomination. His supporters have promised financial backing, and Wagner says he's interested. Three New Yorkers indicted in connection with the demonstrations at the Chicago Democratic Convention surrendered to federal authorities today. David Dellinger, Abby Hoffman, and Jerry Rubin appeared at federal court in Foley Square. Bail was set at $10,000 each, with the provision that the defendants would put up $1,000 apiece. Anti-war demonstrators disrupted a conference at Manhattan's Riverside Church today. Speakers at the gathering were Arthur Goldberg and Senator Wayne Morse. The demonstrators hooted and jeered when Morse began to speak. This brought a loud outcry from the audience. The youngsters went on booing and Morse went on speaking. Demonstrators may or may not have heard what the senator was saying. He was criticizing U.S. foreign policy. Goldberg refused to give his speech.
New York City welfare officials said today Governor Rockefeller's proposed budget is immoral, disgraceful, and destructive. Lewis Levitt, an executive in the Social Services Commission, told an audience at Columbia University that the governor has yielded to more affluent groups and has turned to the poorest and most needy citizens as eventual targets in budget cutting. New Jerseyans who backed Senator Eugene McCarthy and the late Senator Robert Kennedy are meeting in New Brunswick today to form an alliance. The group will be called the Coalition of New Jersey. Members will try to influence the upcoming Democratic gubernatorial primary. A former Democratic governor of New Jersey says he'll try again for the State House. Robert Miner will announce his candidacy for the Democratic primary next Wednesday in Newark. A Savannah, Georgia lawyer, J.P. Stoner, says James Earl Ray told him he was pressured into pleading guilty to the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King. Stoner visited Ray today in his cell at the Tennessee State Prison and then later told newsmen he's representing Ray in a libel action against certain news media. Stoner said Life magazine and other publications interfered with getting Ray a fair trial. British Commissioner Tony Lee was beaten over the head today when about 300 Anguillans, most of them women and children, stormed the British occupation headquarters on the tiny Caribbean island. Lee took over the island in the name of Queen Elizabeth after landing of British troops Wednesday. He was punched on the head today and on the shoulders when an angry crowd swarmed around his car as it pulled up to the British administrative headquarters. 67 communist parties are said to have agreed to hold a conference in Moscow on the 5th of June. Party sources in Moscow say the date was agreed upon by a commission representing the 67 parties, which have been meeting in the Russian capital this week. Communists attacked on three sides of Saigon today, and orders have gone out to Allied field commanders to be ready for a high point in enemy action around the South Vietnamese capital this weekend. However, it's believed that Saigon itself will not be attacked except possibly by rockets. Ambassador Ellsworth Bunker and General Andrew Goodpaster, deputy commander of U.S. forces, left South Vietnam today for the United States and talks with President Nixon. They will fill in the president on the latest developments in the war, including the month-long communist offensive. The FBI in New York says a man arrested for drunken driving today has wound up being charged with bank robbery. 66-year-old Anthony Seiler was wanted by federal authorities in connection with a holdup at Chase Manhattan Bank in Brooklyn and several other robberies. He was hauled in for drunk driving this morning, and police routinely contacted the FBI, who identified Seiler as the bank robbery suspect. The weather in New York, partly sunny and seasonably cool for the rest of the day, high near 50. It will be fair and colder tonight with lows in the mid to low 30s and mostly sunny tomorrow with a high again near 50. Right now it's 45 degrees and partly cloudy in New York. This is Frank Gorham, WNBC News, and now back to Monitor.
When a young man's fancy turns, it's for love his poor heart yearns.
I haven't heard the girls all singing It's NBC, but then I don't get around as much as I used to. This is Monitor, this is H. Morgan, and here's music.
Wish that I was on a rocket top down in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on a rocket top, ain't no telephone bills. Part bear, the other part cat. Wild as a man.
Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top, Tennessee.
Rocky Top, done by one of our more sophisticated hillbillies, Dinah Shore. Open tennis, a boon for Clark Grebner. That story next up on Monitor Sports, brought to you by Chrysler Corporation's Customer Car Care Program.
This is Brock Yates, senior editor of Car and Driver magazine. You know, most of the time I report on the performance of today's automobiles. But now I'd like to talk to you about a good way to keep your car performing properly. It's called Certified Car Care. All part of the Chrysler Corporation's Customer Care Program. Now, at first, customer care may sound just like a bunch of words to you, but it means a lot more. It means that every Chrysler, Plymouth, or Dodge dealer cares as much about you as he does about your car, and that's saying a lot. I've seen these fellows at work, and as a real car buff, I can tell you it's a pleasure to see a bunch of pros in action. They have the know-how, the right tools, plus the kind of Chrysler or Mopar parts that today's cars demand. Today, with cars more sophisticated and complex than ever before, it's important that yours gets the finest care to keep it in showroom condition. So if you care about your car, why not take it to your local Chrysler, Plymouth, or Dodge dealer? They care, too, with Customer Care by Chrysler Corporation.
Madison Square Garden's $25,000 Challenge Trophy Open Tennis Tournament gets underway in New York on Tuesday. In the field of 32 is American amateur Clark Grebner. A report from Pat Hernan on Monitor's Open Line.
Clark, this is the first indoor open tournament staged in New York. Do you plan to play for prize money?
Yes, Pat, I do. I believe that all of the top American players have opted to play for prize money instead of the expenses, and this is the type of a program that we had tried to get instigated quite a few years ago, and now we feel that we should follow along with it the way the pros are playing also.
Well, what do you personally think about the new category under which an amateur can play for money?
Well, this is really a fantastic category for me. You know, Pat, in the past we've been playing and taking expenses, and usually they have been fair expenses, yet we were never able to give endorsements and have our own rackets, things of this nature, and play for prize money. And since this has come in, it's a great boon, and the players of today don't have to go under a contractual arrangement with a group, but they can remain as independent professionals and still have the best of both worlds.
All right, let's go back to the tournament at the Garden. There are 32 players in that field. Now, there are 8 seeds, and Tony Roach is number 1, and you're 6. Are you happy with that seed?
Well, I don't think that I can ever be unhappy with a seeding when you consider that you probably got the 32 best players in the world. I was most fortunate last year, and I was ranked 7 in the world, and the seeding is fine, and now I'm a businessman. I'm working with the Hobson Miller Paper Company here in New York. And I really don't get to play nearly as much as I used to. I'm probably going to be out of the office only about 25% of the time this year. And the tournament in New York is great for me. And the other trips I go on, I try to incorporate it with business ventures also.
Well, Clark, you open up against Ove Bengtsson, an amateur from Sweden. Have you ever played him before?
No, I never have. I've seen him play many times, but we've never had the pleasure of playing.
Clark, there's been a big talk about steel rackets and so forth. How do you find the steel rackets?
Well, I like it very much. I have my own steel racket, which is coming out on the market next month. And obviously, playing with a steel racket myself, I do like them, and I always have played with them.
Clark, let me ask you one more thing. What do you think about the future possibilities of pros playing in the Davis Cup matches?
Well, I think there's a very good chance, Pat. I don't know if it's going to occur this year. We've made drastic steps just allowing people such as myself to become a player and to go under the category as an independent professional. And we ourselves will be able to play Davis Cup, but I think it'll take too much work to get the pros in this year, and there are too many problems, but I could definitely see them playing in 1970.
Thanks very much, Clark, and good luck to you in the tournament.
Thank you, Pat, very much. much.
That was one of our top players in the upcoming tournament at the Garden, Clark Grabner. And this is Pat Hernan for Monitor Sports.
Here's where you meet your friends on weekends.
This has been a rather eventful week. The Swallows returned to Capistrano. Spring made its official appearance, and all week long it's been National Wildlife Week. It ends at midnight tonight, but you still have a few hours to put on your dancing shoes, drop by your liquor store, and enjoy a little wildlife. This is Morgan reminding you that you're on the Monitor Beacon.
McCormick, seasoning,
salt and spices.
McCormick, savory mixes too. McCormick, the very famous help of flavor. McCormick in the kitchen will make a better cook for you.
For Sloppy Joes, mix McCormick Sloppy Joe's seasoning mix with beef and tomato paste. Your Sloppy Joes will taste better than ready-made every time.
McCormick, the very famous house of flavor.
What are you doing with your retirement? Now that you've learned what living is all about, why not spend a year teaching it? Volunteers in service to America are needed now to help in the war on poverty. Vista volunteers live where the poor live. They teach some of the lessons they've learned in their own lives. Their work is paying off. Come out of retirement into the poverty fight. Write Vista, Box 7, Washington, D.C.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
We have on hand a gentleman who's had a very big year in many ways. He's Mason Williams, and his popular recording of Classical Gas won 3 Emmy Awards. And in the same style, he's just released a new version of Green Sleeves. Why did he choose this material? Here's his answer and his rendition of the song.
Green Sleeves has always been one of my favorite songs, and I think that anyone who plays the guitar eventually tries to play that song, and it was certainly one of the first songs I learned. And with the success I had with Classical Gas, I thought I would do something else in that style, because Classical Gas was not only a composition, but it was also a guitar style that I worked out. It was sort of like Scruggs' banjo is a style of picking, and Kentucky is a style of folk guitar, and bossa nova is a style of playing. So I sort of developed my own style of guitar. So I thought I'd use it again, and I just used it on Green Sleeves.
down here is yelling and screaming because I said Emmy, and it should be Grammy. Nobody's hurt. It's a Grammy Award. He won 3 Grammys. Now, everybody leave the control room and mind your own beeswax. Anyway, that was performed by Mason Williams, whose varied talents include comedy writing, notably the head writer's job on the Smothers Brothers TV show, and poetry, of which he's just completed a new book entitled The Mason Williams Reading Matter. Jim Lowe interviewed young Mr. Williams for Monitor and asked him, among other things, about the subject matter of his book.
It's poems, and there are little essays and stories, and there are photographs, and it's just a collection. It's almost like a record itself.
I just opened to page, well, the pages aren't marked, and all it says in big print is The Sad Truth.
Well, that's a section title.
I see. And then moving right along.
Can I read the one that is going to be on the Smothers Brothers show?
Please do.
This is one called The Censor. The censor sits somewhere between the scenes to be seen and the television sets, with his scissor purpose poised, watching the human stuff that will sizzle through the magic wires and light up, like welding shops, the ho-hum rooms of America. And with the kindergarten arts and crafts concept of moral responsibility, snips out the rough talk, the unpopular opinion, or anything with teeth, and renders a pattern of ideas full of holes, a doily for your mind.
Mason, do you think that censors are really that bad? In the words of Shakespeare,
yes,
if you prick them, do they not bleed?
Not as men. We have censors on the Smothers Brothers show, and I'd like them as individuals. They're fine.
You like them until they pick up the pencil, right?
It's not that. It's one of those, I don't know where it comes from, where those edicts come from about what is clean and what isn't, or what is, what will be in and what stays. I don't know where that comes from. On the Smothers Brothers show, we were never interested in doing dirty things. We just figured that there is room out of all the hours a week that are broadcast for a different kind of show, one that had some social comment, some satire, a little healthy irreverence. We never tried to use the show for our own vindictive reasons at all. It's a challenge in times, you know, it is. The times, they are changing. Dylan really said it in his thing, and we were trying to support that by doing a show that would change things a little bit, and it did change things a little bit.
And really, who's to say? Because what's vulgarity to one person is art to another.
Right.
We've been talking with Mason Williams, Grammy Award winner, composer, performer, poet, author, genius. This is Jim Lowe for Monitor.
Thank you, Jim.
Mason Williams with his contribution to our discussion of modern manners and morals. So here you are on the third day of spring. Let's see what the weatherman's doing to us. Well, there are sunny skies and above normal temperatures over most areas from coast to coast. Some exceptions. Northern Colorado, where travelers' warnings are in effect due to expected snow. Upstate New York and New England, which are still having some snow flurries. And there are areas of light rain in Texas, parts of Arizona, and New Mexico.
Keeping your windshield crystal clear during stormy weather is no longer the simple squeegee operation that it was years ago. The large curved windshields on today's cars present a complex engineering problem. That is, to keep even pressure on every inch of the large area being cleared away by the windshield wiper. The Anderson Company of Gary, Indiana, makers of Anco windshield wiper blades, refills, and arms, have perfected the wiper blade to wipe a clear pattern on every modern windshield under all conditions. The Anco push-button refillable blades are available for cars with a hidden or regular wipers, or the kind used on foreign cars. The big bright yellow Anco windshield wiper service cabinet is visible in service stations all over America. And that's the place to have your streaking blades replaced or refilled with genuine Anco wiper blades or refills. The serviceman can do this for you in seconds. It's a good place to buy gas, too.
Thank you.
This weekend, our study of the trend toward a more permissive society has taken us into many areas, fashions, communications, and entertainment. Linked to the latter area is advertising. And to find out what's permitted these days in TV and radio advertising, we talked with Mr. Alvin Hempel, Senior Vice President of the Advertising Agency of Young & Rubicam.
You can say much more today, and I think this is a reflection of the more sophisticated consumer that we're talking to. The people that we are talking to are smarter people. They're younger people. They don't want to hear it indirectly. They want to get it straight. And so I think this is a reflection of the times. There is more freedom than there ever has been.
One TV commercial makes use of striptease music and the phrase, "take it off." We asked Mr. Hempel if he thought this in questionable taste.
I think that taking it off is a very inventive way of talking about taking one's whiskers off, shaving one's whiskers. I think that someone had the idea that when you took it off with this certain product, you would have a smoother face and therefore be more appealing to women. And that's a very valid point.